Hey fam, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. And if you are looking for some good sermons and words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and subscribe, like, comment, and share. That way you are up to date on all our latest content. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
I remember on February the 15th, 1994, I was sitting in my new house, and I was watching the Kentucky-LSU game, basketball game. And as I'm watching this thing, the Cats were down by 31 points with 15 minutes to go in the game. I think I cussed a little bit. No, I don't think I cussed a little. I cussed a lot. I even went up and turned the television off a couple of times and went, oh my gosh, I can't bear to watch this. But every time I'd go back, what happened? They were chipping away at the deficit. They started chipping away at the score, but when it was all said and done, the Cats set an NCAA record for the largest comeback of a team that was on the road. They came back and won that game 99-95. Y'all remember any Cats fans in the house? I remember that game just like it was yesterday. We got some Cats fans. Y'all going to heaven. Ain't got any cards? Never mind. Go Cards. Okay, anyway, I'm not going to get into that. This morning, I want to talk to you just for a few minutes about, the title of my message is The Greatest Comeback. And with any comeback, there has to be some dark times. There has to be some times when it all looked like it was lost. We celebrate Sunday, but Friday happened. The enemy always wants us to look at the chaos. He always wants us to look at the darkness. He always wants us to look at death. Look at John 19. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. It means he died. The cross looked like the end of the story, but it's tied to the greatest comeback in history. What had happened is sin had entered into the world. By choice. How many have made some bad choices in their life? Well, there were some choices made back in Genesis that altered the world forever. Sin had entered through the garden, and there was separation between man and God. There was a temple that was people had to bring the sacrifices each and every year, and it was usually an animal sacrifice. And there was a veil inside of that temple, not just any veil. Listen to this. It was 60 feet high. These are like 13-foot ceilings. Just imagine how tall it is. 30 feet wide, probably this whole length of this room, and 4 inches thick. I'm not a good carpenter, but that's about that big. The veil of the temple, what it did, it symbolized the separation between God, his holy presence, and sinful humanity. Only the high priest could go there. Only they could go behind the temple and in yearly sacrifices. And they're the only ones that could go there. But they were representing the need for mediation between God and us. We needed a comeback. When Jesus said it is finished, it says this. It says the veil, come on somebody, the veil was torn from top to bottom. It was in two. The tearing of the veil signified the removal of the barrier. Anyone could now approach God through Jesus. Look what Hebrews says. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. You can do it. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Here's what Jesus didn't say. Jesus didn't say, "I am finished." Jesus said, "It is finished." Come on, there's a difference between "I am finished," it means I'm done, and "it is finished." Death, sickness, depression, suicide, anxiety, the power of sin was crushed with those words. Come on, somebody, you need to thank him this morning that those things, that sin and all those things I just mentioned to you are crushed at the cross. Has anybody ever been in court? Raise your hand. No, oh my gosh. Y'all got a bunch of heathens in here, don't we? But God. Man, I'm going to hold that against you at altar call. But the devil, used to bring accusations against us. But Jesus became our mediator. He became our go-between. He became the advocate that we needed. What an advocate does, it pleads on someone else's behalf. The Bible says this, he sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you. Do you know he's sitting up there praying for you right now? He's praying for your family. He's praying for your situations that you think nobody knows about or nobody cares about. He's interceding for you. He's defending us to God for everything the enemy keeps accusing us. How many wake up every day with the enemy accuses you of something? Whether it was your past or your present or whatever you're going through right now, he's standing in the courtroom and says this. When the devil accuses you, you got to know this. Jesus stands in the courtroom and says, they are covered. They're not guilty anymore. Come on, devil, you can say whatever you want to. You can try to speak to them, but they're not guilty anymore. I did the work. It is finished. The cross and his death changed everything. But let's not stop there. There's more to this comeback story. Let's talk about a graveyard. Let's talk about a tomb. Luke 24:5 says this. Then as they were afraid, they bowed their faces to the earth. And he said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? I ask you this morning, why do we keep going back to the graveyard? Why do we keep going back to the past? Why do we keep going back to our toxic relationships? Why do we keep going back to our behaviors and our fears? Why do we keep going back to the graveyard? There are some things that you need to leave in the grave. Quit trying to bring dead things back to life. You've already attended the funeral. You've said your goodbyes. Don't keep digging it up or trying to resurrect it. Can I tell you this? Jesus was not resuscitated. He was resurrected. People are brought back to life each and every day, physical life, but they're eventually going to die. God doesn't resuscitate, he resurrects. He doesn't bring you back to your old life. Come on, somebody. He gives you a new eternal one. You need to think about that. We keep trying to resurrect or resuscitate things that God says is dead in our lives. And he says, I don't want to resuscitate that. I want to bring the new things that I have for you in my life. First thought we think about a tomb and a grave is really not a comeback, right? Because a tomb is usually associated with death. And the word empty, it said an empty tomb, usually means vacant, depleted, and containing nothing. And that's just like some people walking around today. They feel empty. Why? It's because we all have this God-sized hole in our souls that nothing, can I just say that to you in capital letters, that nothing can fill but God. And we wonder why our relationships are not fulfilling. We wonder why God hadn't sent you that perfect man or that perfect woman. They're not there. They're on Instagram. You don't always get what you see, young folks, older seasoned folks. But you're waiting for him to send that perfect person and they're not there. He wants to be that perfect person in your life. Maybe your career, maybe your jobs are not fulfilling. No matter how much money you make, come on, I've been down this road. It makes you, you're still not happy and you want more. We have friends, this is for somebody. We have friends and popularity, but we're still some of the loneliest people in the room. No matter how good things are you have in our life, we still feel empty no matter what we try to fill them with. But that's why we need to look at the tomb as a comeback story. Luke 24:6. He is not here, but is risen. Remember, say remember. Remember. Remember how he spoke to you when he was in Galilee. I got news for you this morning. When you're facing fear, remember. When you're facing discouragement, remember. When you're facing doubt, remember. When you're facing anxiety and the list could go on, you need to remember how good God has been to you. His promise still stands. Great is his faithfulness. Don't forget when he says yes and amen to everything. If he said it, he'll do it. If he started it, he'll finish it. Come on, somebody's about to give up. Somebody's about to give up on their faith. Somebody's about to give up on their family. Somebody's got to give up on what you can fill in the blank. But I'm telling you, if he started it, he's going to finish it. And He's not only going to finish it, he's going to make it better than it was before. What the enemy meant for evil, God is going to turn around for your good. Come on, you need to grab hold of that right now. All you've been seeing is the depression. All you've been seeing is the down. All you've been seeing is the bad. And God says, I'm about to turn that thing around. You're about to see that relationship taken care of. You're about to see your kids come back to Jesus. God, they're acting crazy. He said, I don't know. I love to get hold of crazy kids. Come on. Casey June, you're a crazy kid. Thank you, Jesus. The good thing about an empty tomb is, because the tomb is empty, we can be full of hope. We can be full of joy when there doesn't look joy. There's no joy around us. We can be full of peace, the peace that passes all understanding. And we can have confidence because the grave is empty. Jesus' resurrection represents rebirth into eternal life. Taking the old, I know I've said this before, making it new. Bringing the dead things of your life back to life. Frederick Bacher said this. Resurrection means the worst thing is never the last thing. The worst thing is never the last day. His last day can be your first day. Come on, we celebrated Good Friday, and we talked about the pain that he went through, the humanness that he went through. But his last day could be your first day. The Bible says weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. The Bible says he wants to give us beauty for ashes, praise for our heaviness. We've been walking around heavy. The cloud is over us. And he's like, I am about to release some praise in you. When you start seeing the work that I'm doing in your life, when you start seeing those things that I said come to fruition, you're going to start praising me. You're going to, all the doubt and all that stuff that you've been going through, all of a sudden it's not going to be remembered anymore. Thank you that I have a praise that my daughter came and saw me a couple weeks ago. Thank you that you got a praise that things are going to happen. Things are coming back to life if you give them the lie. The empty tomb is the greatest comeback story in history. But talking about a comeback, let's keep staying in the graveyard for a minute. Let's visit it a moment. Let's go to Medina, Arabia, where Muhammad is buried. Come on. Let's go to China, where Confucius is buried. Let's go to Sri Lanka, where they got the bones of Buddha. Let's go to Illinois, where Joseph Smith is born. What you're going to find there is you're going to find the remains. And their DNA is going to be there. But let's go to, come on somebody, let's go to a borrowed tomb in Jerusalem. Borrowed means to use without the intention of returning it. He borrowed his, they're buried in theirs. Come on, you can find their physical remains, but when you go into this one, you can't find nothing that remains there. No DNA, why? Because he's not there, he's risen. Can somebody get excited in our church this morning? He is not there. He is risen. Because he is not there, your depression doesn't need to be there. Your anxiety does not need to be there. Your fear does not need to be. And your past doesn't need to be there because the grave is empty. He is not here. I want you to listen. I want you to lean in right now during this part. He is not here. He is risen. Those words changed everything. The enemy was on social media, and he had the laughing faces going all over the screen. He was showing pictures of the cross. He was showing blood. He was showing, hey, I finally have won. But what happened is, on social media, Jesus changed his status. He moved from dead to alive. Come on, somebody. He got a job promotion called the Savior of the World. He said, I'm now in a relationship with you if you'll have me. He's not looking for likes and shares. He's looking for you to love him and to share your life with him. Come on. He changed social media forever. Some of us, our social media needs to be changed forever. Come on, get an amen on that one. Hearts were flying all over the screen when he walked out of that tomb. We can be full of hope because our comeback story, because Jesus is not in a manger anymore. He's not in a carpenter's place. He's not on the cross anymore. He's not in a tomb. The tomb is empty. Jesus is risen, and he's ascended at the right hand of the Father. Can I tell you something this morning? I want to encourage you. It's never too late for a comeback. There's a thief on the cross. And Jesus was in the middle. He was our mediator. He was the middle man. And they came. One of them looked at Jesus and said, if you are the Son of God, if you are who you say you are, then you need to get us off of this cross. And maybe you're here today and you think it's too late for you. Maybe you think you've made too many mistakes, or I got good news. There's mercy and grace all the way to the cross. So the one was saying, if you're the Messiah, come on, do your magic, get us out of here. Here's the heart that we need to behind ourselves to be behind. The other one looked over and said, dude, shut up. We deserve this. This man is innocent. He said, you need to reflect on your life and know that you're here because of the choice that you made. He's here because of the choice he made. He looked over at Jesus. Come on, this gives you hope this morning. All the way to the cross. He looked over at Jesus and said, will you remember me this day when you go to paradise? It's not too late. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, come on. Whether you've been far from God, maybe you came in here today and say, man, if I walk in that church, the building's gonna catch on fire, the roof's gonna fall in on me. But God doesn't see it that way. God is saying, yes, they're right where they need to be today. Yes, Holy Spirit, you're gonna have an opportunity to speak to them in their hearts. Yes, I'm so excited. Not what the enemy tells you. I'm thankful that you're here today. But what I'm gonna ask you to do these next few minutes is open up your hearts. Open up your minds. Maybe not even remember all that I said this morning or what was sung this morning. Just say, God, as they turn off the lights, I want you to speak to me in that voice that I need to hear. Come on, you're here today, and again, I've said this before, maybe you've made some mistakes and some failure. You had some things going on in your life. You feel like, man, God's done with me. He's not done with you. As long as you have breath, come on. As long as you have breath in your lungs, there's a chance to come back, for a comeback. God is a God of restoration. He's a God of compassion. He's a God of love. You can't even think or imagine how much God loves you. And I know, man, I know that's hard. Some of you like can't even wrap your mind around the earthly love because of things that have happened in your life. God loves you more than you could ever think love could be. And this morning, just like the prodigal son who wasted everything and he went off and did his own thing and came back, and he didn't meet him with judgment. He met him with open arms. He met him with love and compassion. And so many times, if he would have said, I told you this was going to happen, or this is what you did, he didn't diminish it. He just loved. Because you know why? The son already knew he made a mistake. He didn't need someone else to tell him. Like so many times, instead of mercy and grace, we meet people with judgment. You can't come in here because you're this, or you can't be around here because of that. And man, I'm telling you what, God's about to wipe the slate clean with what you think of. Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you glad that God doesn't give up on us? Because if that would have happened, it would have happened a long time ago. Sam, you wouldn't be on this stage right now if God gave up on us. And that's the story with probably a lot of people in this room. So many of us, our past relationships, our father wounds, our failures have left many of us defeated, discouraged, and overwhelmed. But these are the times we can turn our faces towards the God that splits seas, feeds multitudes, and even defies death. I stole this one. Your setup is a setting stage for your comeback. God is setting you up this morning for a comeback. But here's what he's looking for. He's looking for you to take that step. We're here this morning. I'm going to ask you all to stand with me if you would please. I believe we're in a profound moment, not just in the world, but in this time that we're at. I believe that there's a profound moment happening right now across this room where God, the Holy Spirit, is speaking to someone. He's speaking to you about your comeback. Bow your heads with me, please. He's speaking to you about your comeback and your you're not receiving it. God wants you to know this morning that he's here. And sometimes taking a step out, maybe you've walked away from God. Maybe you've never given your heart to Jesus. There's going to be people on the left and right up here to pray with you. But there's something profoundly a show that God wants, not a show, that's the word, wrong word. A show of making that step and walking towards the front. If you've never given your life to Jesus, the simple part is he died and was resurrection. He shed his blood for you. So you can say, Jesus, please forgive me. Please come into my heart and please come into my mind and my soul. I want to serve you. I want to be everything you've called me to be. Saying a prayer is easy. Walking it out is the hard part. This morning, I want to tell you something. God is still writing your story. Come on, you've shut the book a couple of times. You've even you've ripped a few pages out of it. Oh, I don't want to live that one again. But he's still writing your story, and there's another chapter to your story. There's an act two and an act three to your act one. So this morning, I'm going to ask you to receive his forgiveness. If there's someone that you're holding against, if you're holding something against somebody this morning, I'm going to ask you to release that this morning too. Because sometimes unforgiveness only hurts you. This is a day that people spend time with their families. Maybe there's someone in your family you need to make a phone call to or someone you need to text. I'm going to ask you to release that today. As they get ready to sing this song, let this not just be another Easter Sunday. Let this not just be another day, another Sunday period. Let this be a resurrecting, transformational day. These altars will be open.
Thank you so much for joining us today. To find out more information about what we're all about here, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you, we're praying for you, and we'll see you next week.